Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, March 28th, and your Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. On today's agenda, Ben is talking about the White Sox, the Bears, stadiums, and who should pay for it. And who better for that discussion than former Illinois governor, the people's governor, Pat Quinn. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to drink, if you have questions about politics, music, arts, in the city of Chicago, anything, just go to ChicagoReader.com and you can learn a whole lot. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, head to ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Loss Aversion Thursday, and here's why. The great, he's not really an economist, a pioneer in behavioral economics. Daniel Kahneman died the other day at age 90. His obituary is in the New York Times. Fascinating obituary about the brilliant man who had a lot of insights into our behavior, why we do the things we do. Why do we often behave in ways that are not to our benefit? Like, what psychological demons are at play that govern and dictate how we behave? And one of his theories had to do with the concept of loss aversion. That's A-V-E-R-S-I-O-N. And his theory is that the fear of losing is a greater motivation than the aspiration to win. And so he talked about golfers, for instance, who I'll read you the exact quote. Loss aversion also explains why golfers have been found to putt better when going for par on a given hole than for a stroke gaining birdie. They try harder on par putt because they dearly want to avoid a bogey or a loss of a stroke. They're motivated more by a fear of losing than by an aspiration to win. And this governs us in politics as well. And it's a natural segue into the conversation I'm about to have with the old friend Pat Quinn, former Governor Pat Quinn. And that is this. We are afraid of losing in the city of Chicago. We see it all the time. Quinn is outside of the box on this because he's willing to put things up to the voters. If you put things up to the voters, you can lose. This is a very real possibility. We just saw this with Bring Chicago Home. I was for Bring Chicago Home. We lost. I still think it was a noble effort, trying to figure a progressive way to fund housing in the city of Chicago. We need housing. This would be one progressive proposal. It lost. But I'm glad they tried it. Same thing with the fair tax. It too lost. Anytime we have a progressive taxing idea on the ballot, it seems to be at a disadvantage. I don't think we should pull away from these challenges just because there's a danger we'll lose. I think what we should do is do a better job of getting people to buy in to our ideas. I think that's the real the challenge. And the reason this is on my mind is because Pat Quinn has come up with another referendum idea. That's got nothing but opposition, it seems like, from the powers that be in the city of Chicago, probably because they're afraid of losing. And that is putting it to the voters directly whether they want to finance the construction of new stadiums for the White Sox and the Bears. Now, I love the White Sox as a team and the Bears as much as Pat Quinn does, but I do not want to finance their stadiums. I don't know what Pat Quinn's attitude is about that, but we'll bring him on to find out. Governor Quinn, welcome back.
Well, good to talk to you, Ben. It's been a while, and I definitely am a White Sox fan, a Bears fan. My heart's big enough for the Cubs. I was at the Bulls game last night. I think all of the most everybody is a hardcore sports fan in Chicago, but as you just said, we don't want hard-pressed taxpayers to pay their money to help the owners of teams build stadiums. There ought to be a referendum on that in Chicago, because everywhere else in America, every other city, when there's this kind of thing coming up, public money for a stadium, people get to vote on it, and we should too.
So in other words, when you say that you want it to go before the public, you're actually also saying that if there, it were to come before the public, you would vote no, correct?
Well, I just did a poll. I paid for it. It was a statewide poll. 448 people responded. That's statistically significant. And two-thirds of the voters of Illinois are opposed to any kind of public money or subsidy being used to pay for the either the Sox or the Bears to build a new stadium. To put this in perspective, the Bears, 25 years ago, got Soldier Field remodeled into a spaceship. That cost $660 million of public money. That won't be paid off until 2032. And you just mentioned about the affordable housing and many other good causes. You know, what can we use that money of $660 million? Would have been a lot better spent building housing for people rather than a new remodeled spaceship for the Bears.
And I do recall your proposals back then on this matter, particularly when I wrote a column about it, Pat. I don't know if you remember this. This is before you were governor, before you were lieutenant governor, and it had to do with naming rights. And you put that on the. Remember this? You had a referendum on the ballot.
Of course, I did. You know, it was it's probably hanging in the wall in my house. It was a great column, as all of your columns are, Ben. I'm just kidding, but no. What we did back then is I tried to put on the ballot by petition a referendum on whether the Bears should get this money to remodel Soldier Field. The city was against it. The Bears were against it. And they kept it off the ballot. But what came out of it was the Bears, in the deal that the city had struck behind closed doors with the Bears were going to get to rename Soldier Field. And they were going to sell the name to a bank for $300 million. And the Bears were going to keep all that money selling the name of Soldier Field. You know, Preparation H Park at Soldier Field or whatever you want to call it. So we stopped that. We actually put a precinct referendum on the ballot in the mayor's home precinct. And they decided after a while that was a bad idea to sell the name of Soldier Field. But now this new deal, the Bears want to tear down the remodeled spaceship that we gave them with public money back in 2001 or whatever it was. And they want to tear that down, only leave the colonnades, and build a brand new dome stadium. Where the Bears, again, would get the right to sell the name of the new Dome Stadium south on the parking lot south of Soldier Field.
Now, the lesson I took from that first story you told, we'll get to the current proposal in a moment, but the lesson I took is they opposed your referendum because they didn't want to encourage the public to think. Follow me on this, Pat. They didn't want to encourage the public to think that they, the public, could have a determining role on what policies were. They wanted a free hand, they being Mayor Daley's administration, to do what they wanted.
Yeah.
And so it was twofold. One, it was important to make sure that your ballot initiative never reached the voters. We'll get into this with term limits as well. But two, they got your message. So they understood that it would be exceedingly unpopular to sell the naming rights to Soldier Field, taking Soldier Field off of it, or putting it next to some corporate name. So they kept, they learned a lesson not to do that, but they sent you a lesson, which is don't try this. We're not going to let you try to go around us on these voter initiatives. That's my takeaway. Do you agree with me or disagree?
No, I agree with you that the insiders, the politicians of City Hall, and for that matter, state legislature, they don't want the voters, the taxpayers, having a role in voting on issues. You know, that's what happens all over the Midwest, Wisconsin and Michigan, Ohio, Missouri. people there have the right not only to vote for candidates, but vote on issues, referendum in Illinois. It's against machine politics. And that's why I propose this referendum on whether or not the taxpayer money should be used to build a new stadium to the White Sox and the Bears. That really goes at the heart of the way they see government. Government is the people on the inside, and those pesky taxpayers and voters can just stand on the sidelines and take it wherever they want, you know, whatever the insiders want.
Yes. You know? It's a case of its own kind of loss aversion. They're averse to losing this control over the public purse. And so they're going to do everything they can to keep you off the ballot. All right. Let's discuss one of my favorite topics. Again, we'll hold off before we get to the White Sox and the Bears. And that's what happened when you made an initiative, a move to get the voters to decide on whether we should have term limits in Illinois. And I wrote another column about that. I'm addicted to writing columns about Patrick Quinn. And in this particular column,
they're immortal columns, man. They're some of your very best. You know, I'm doing all I can to help you. Yeah.
So this one, we had breakfast together. I walked in. I go, I'm not signing your petition, Quinn, because I'm against term limits. By the end of breakfast, I signed it. You convinced me.
Well, remember, Mom Emanuel was the mayor, and it was really term limits on the mayor. And you know, all the big cities in America, except Chicago, have term limits on their mayor. New York does, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Houston, you name it, they all do. We don't have that, and we've had some mayors lasting forever. And so we got the signatures for that. We got 87,000 signatures citywide. And then they came up with this maneuver to keep it off the ballot. They passed three advisory questions. One of them had to do with plastic straws in order to prevent the term limit referendum from going on the ballot. They called it the rule of three. You can only have three referendums in any one election. So that was disheartening, I must say, after all that work. And people were overwhelmingly for it. Actually, you know, you got to wonder about what goes on sometimes at City Hall. You know, yesterday was Mayor Johnson's birthday, and he was my county board member when before he got elected mayor. And, you know, he got elected about a year ago, and he campaigned on transparency and voter participation and reform and all. And so I really hope on this referendum for whether or not the Bears and the Sox should get taxpayer money to build a new stadium, you know, the mayor puts it on the ballot. The people want that. I can tell you from the reaction yesterday as well as this poll, you know, if everyday people pay taxes, don't want to see their hard-earned taxes going to paying for stadiums for billionaires. It doesn't make sense.
Well, my memory going back to the term limit issue is that Mayor Rahm took you to court on that matter, and that in fact it was on the ballot, but they you lost in court and they didn't count the votes. Isn't that what happened?
No, you got that right. They hired this guy Mike Casper, who's kind of the prince of keeping things off the ballot, to keep the term limit on the mayor off the ballot. So we did go to court, and during the course of the battle, you know, the election was coming up, so the judge said, people can still vote on it, but we won't count the votes unless, you know, the three-question limit is upheld. So that's what happened. And actually, you know, there were some precinct workers who were there on election night who got the tabulation from their precinct, and it showed overwhelming support for term limits on the mayor. And I think the same thing would happen with preventing taxpayer money from going to the Bears. You know, yesterday when I was at City Hall filing this ordinance for the referendum, I said, you know, the Bears have a hurry-up offense here, man, to try and get the taxpayer money. Yeah. And what we need is a prevent defense for the taxpayers to prevent the raid on the public treasury again. Yeah. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, a quarter century ago, they get a new remodeled spaceship as a stadium, and now that's not good enough. They want to tear it all down and build something new with, you know, with public health.
It's, all right, now we'll get into that. But yeah, that's that referendum battle with Rahm was in 2019, and Chicago, Pat Quinn's referendum probably had a little I would say a lot to do with Rahm's decision not to run for re-election. The two things were happening at the same time.
I know that. A friend of mine actually got a call from His Honor, who indicated that the signatures that we got, plus the polls at the time, inclined him not to run for re-election.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's why they, Rahm in particular probably doesn't like Pat. That and all the nasty things that Pat Quinn has said on my podcast down through the years about Rahm's basketball playing ability. I believe your standard line is, as a basketball player, Rahm Emanuel is a great dancer. I believe that's your standard line.
No, he's a great ballet dancer. Yeah, I've only played basketball against him once. And his teammate was Dave Axelrod. And they didn't win.
No, Axelrod's got a nice – Axelrod's a good three-point shot. Where Axelrod's greatest achievement in the basketball court, as I said many times, is his creative scorekeeping. That man is the most creative scorekeeper I've ever seen. Like, no matter who scores, which team scores the basket, his team gets somehow or other managed getting the point. Very creative scorekeeper.
Oh, my. Well, he's a good three-point shooter, but he's not mobile. He's less mobile than ever now. So you got to move around a little bit.
All right, let's get back to the issue at hand here. And I'll give you my theory, and you're free to disagree with me vehemently.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, Brandon Johnson's coming up on a year in office. I voted for him and supported him. You did not. You're not perfect, Pat. You make mistakes from time to time. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that he is not going to be very supportive of your initiative for the same reason that all mayors would be opposed to it. I'll give you my theory, and then you respond. My theory is this. They don't want their hands tied. If Mayor Johnson feels it's in his best interest and the city's best interest to give money to the Bears, he does not want his hands tied by an initiative that would say the public's against it. If he wants to win the accolades of the Tribune and Cranes, who would probably cheer him on by giving away this money, he wants to win those. He does not want to have to deal with 60 to 70% of the voters of Chicago saying, no, don't spend this money. So that's why, in my humble opinion, Mayor Johnson would not support your initiative, just like Mayor Rahm would not support your initiative if you're the mayor, or Mayor Daley would not support your initiative, or Mayor Lightfoot, et cetera, and so forth. Your response?
Well, I think you're on to that. A lot of the mayors, aforementioned names, all four of them, don't want voters having a say-so in fundamental decisions that affect the public's tax money. But I think I was hoping, and I still hope, that Mayor Johnson, whose birthday was yesterday, will see a different way to go, which is trust the people, trust the voters. You know, if we did that 25 years ago, we'd have $660 million more for affordable housing in Chicago, for investing in people. That's the whole idea, invest in mental health care. You know, when they say, oh, we don't have enough money for mental health care or housing, and then they give away the store to the owners of sports stadiums so they can have these glittering palaces at public expense. That's the wrong way to go. That giveaway is not right. And I was hoping, and I still hope, that Mayor Johnson will see the virtue of showing the teams that if you want to build a stadium, more power to you, but do it with your own money, not with the public's money. Find a site. And you can build it there if that's what you want, if you want to spend your money. And that's exactly what they've done in Los Angeles and Dallas and other places around the country. Owners of sports teams have privately and fully funded a stadium without going to the public. And the referendum would make that clear that if you're the owner of the Bears, you're going to have to find the money to build a new stadium if you're not happy with what you got.
All right, let's deal with the Bears first, then we'll get to the Sox. If the Bears, if you had prevailed in 2001 and had a voter referendum on financing the Bears' Soldier Field rebuild, and the voters had rejected it, what do you think would have become of the Bears? Where do you think they would be playing football right now?
Well, you know, they're very good at issuing threats, you know. In the old days, believe it or not, we had two NFL teams in Chicago. There were the Chicago Cardinals, which Papa Bear, the owner of the Bears, founder of the league, George Halas, he said, well, when the Cardinals decided they wanted to play their home games at Northwestern's football field north of, in Evanston, he said, oh, no, that can't do. You can't do that. You got to play south of Madison Street. That's what Papa Bear said. The Cardinals had to play south of Madison. The Bears are the team north of Madison Street. So the Cardinals said, okay, that's what you want. We'll go to St. Louis. That's south of Madison Street. And we lost the team, an NFL team. And that would have been a lot better for all of us, I think, because when you have competition between two pro teams, sometimes they make each other better. You know, they compete. If you have a monopoly, we've had a lot of losing seasons with the Bears. Let's put it that way. Hopefully it'll be better in the future. But I really feel that with respect to what happened back in 2001, the voters lost, the taxpayers lost, the Bears got a lot of money, and, we're not better off as a society with them having a spaceship called put on Soldier Field. That was a bum deal.
Yeah, so in other words, you think they just would have stayed with Soldier Field as it were. If the voters had said no public money, you think they just would have stayed, kept running at Soldier Field, and there would be no revamping of Soldier Field?
Well, they might have decided as time went on, with all the money, the Bears franchise is worth $5.5 billion. Mm-hmm. One of the most valuable sports franchises in the world. And they would have maybe had to make the decision, if we didn't subsidize them with taxpayer money, that, okay, we've got to bite the bullet and use our own money to build a stadium wherever we want to put it, on private land. A matter of fact, there is a site not far. It's on the south side, not far from where the Bears currently play, and that's the old Michael Reese Hospital site, 400 and some odd acres. And that can be a football stadium. The Bears would have to buy the land. I think it is possibly available. And I know the Friends of the Park have said, why don't you go over to that site, which was supposed to be the site for the Olympic Village, that did not happen when Mayor Daley, we didn't win the bid for the 2016 Olympics. But we have this huge vacant site on the south side where the Bears could buy it, build their football stadium. They could have an entertainment district around it. When I was governor, the Ricketts bought, the Cubs and Wrigley Field, and they were sniffing around for public money to fix up Wrigley Field. And I said, no way. Stadium authority that I appoint will not do that. You got to do it with your own money. And, to their credit, that's what they did. And that should be the lesson for the Bears and the Sox and everybody else. The public needs the money for housing, education, public safety, health care, mental health care, all the things that were the campaign items in the last election. That should be the priority, not stadiums for million billionaires.
But just for what the record, the Bears, Kevin Warren, I think he's the CEO of the team, says that the Michael Reese site is too narrow.
He's wrong about that. I know I saw that same thing. They have a presentation that will show that it's absolutely able to be done. I talked to a guy the other day. They should at least allow things to be public. The good thing about a referendum, by the way, is then there's a real debate. It's not done behind closed doors. Somebody can say something, but then there's an opportunity to respond. And referendums bring out, I think, the truth. It's a rock'em sock'em battle sometimes. But when I was governor, I was the governor of Illinois for 6 years. And I proposed and got passed a constitutional amendment for recall for the governor. It passed in 2010. It passed 2-1. And it applied to me. But I thought it was necessary because, when I was governor, we had two former governors, George Ryan and Rob Blagojevich, in jail at the same time. They weren't in the same jail, but they were in jail. And I think voters decided we needed to have a recall power for governor if needs be.
All right. Now, that your last comment, I will now ask the Frank question, and then I'll go back to the Sox. Frank is a dear listener to the show, and he asked me to ask you this question. He's a fan of yours, by the way. I once took a picture of you, the two of you together. I don't know if you probably don't remember. There's a lot of pictures, but whatever. He says that there's too many referendum issues like this, and if Patrick Quinn keeps going in this direction, we're going to be coming like California. And California is constantly having to deal with the consequences of ballot initiatives that tie the hands of the leaders of California. Your response to the Frank question?
Well, first of all, we don't have hardly any referendum issues in Illinois. I mean, the Bring Home Chicago is a rarity, having a chance to vote on that. If you look at the Midwest as opposed to California, places like Michigan, Ohio, Missouri, they have referendums on a regular basis. They just had a referendum in Ohio on reproductive freedom that the people petitioned onto the ballot. There's oftentimes major issues that the public really wants to vote on, and folks go out and get signatures, lots of signatures, sometimes hundreds of thousands of signatures to put it on the ballot. I think that's healthy. It's not going to replace the legislature, the city council, but it's a safety valve for the taxpayers and the voters to be able to speak out on important issues of the day. And I really feel that one of the reasons we've had so many politicians indicted and convicted in Illinois, just since J.B. Pritzker got elected governor, we've had 10 legislators, current or former, indicted and or convicted, including one who's still awaiting trial in October, Mike Madigan. When I was governor, I tried to pass things like initiative, but also ethics, and he was a roadblock. He didn't want that. He didn't want conflict of interest prohibitions and so on. And so the voters sometimes have to go around those roadblocks and put issues on the ballot by petition and let the people speak. I think it'll be a healthy way to clean things up in Illinois and make sure taxpayers are treated fairly.
All right. I support you in this particular initiative.
Frank that. Have Frank call me. I'll be happy to about that. I'll get him a petition, too.
Next thing you know, he'll be gathering signatures. All right. Now let's go back to the Bears and the White Sox. The Bears, I will now give you what I call the Tom Scher question. And Tom Scher was a guest in this show. I know you know Tom. He's a long time.
Oh, yeah. Tom's a good friend. Yeah.
A broadcaster in his town and publicist, etc.
He's living in Arizona now. He moved out there. He may come back here in the summertime, but we miss him.
Yeah. So Tom was on the show. We're talking White Sox and at Bears, and his opinion was that this was a ploy. This is what Tom said. This is a ploy, we're all effectively suckers and saps. That the Bears are essentially making this maneuver on for the lakefront in order to put the squeeze on Arlington Heights to give up a little bit on the property tax issue and put a cap that protects the Bears on property tax matters. Do you agree with the Tom Scher theory that this is the lakefront is all a ploy by the Bears to put pressure on Arlington Heights?
Well, that's an interesting observation. Watching the Bears as they did 25 years ago, they like to maneuver, let's put it that way. And they got a huge taxpayer subsidy back then, and they may be looking for the same thing in 2024, whether it's from the city of Chicago. But Arlington Heights, I know folks up there have already gathered signatures. I think they're going to put their referendum on the November ballot about no taxpayer money for the Bears stadium or real estate development around it. So they're going to have to deal with the fact that lots and lots of taxpayers, whether they live in Chicago or the suburbs, do not want to see their tax money spent on stadiums for very expensive and well-funded sports teams. You know, they should build their own. That's a principle that we need to fight here in the 21st century. We got to make sure that the taxpayers' money is used in a prudent way, not in a wasteful way. Because clearly the last effort there with the Bears to build the spaceship on Soldier Field, costing so much money, $660 million, that money could have been spent in a different way on things like affordable housing, which is a crying need right now.
Yeah. You sound like me, Pat, talking about Mayor Daley's Olympic proposal. Just listening to you talk about that $660 million, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like me back in 2008, blasting the mayor for that idea, wasting money on things that don't help us.
I was governor then, and we had quite a delegation from Illinois go to Copenhagen for the vote of the Olympic Committee, and Chicago didn't win. It was, you know, a disappointment, I guess, but it turned out to be a blessing. I think Illinois and Chicago are much better off that we didn't have the Olympics. We have enough financial challenges, city and state. We don't need to put our money in things that are low priority, really, when all is said and done.
So, Pat, are you ready to concede right now that Ben was right and Pat Quinn was wrong when it comes to the Olympics?
Well, you know, I was the governor.
It's killing you to say it, Pat.
I'm sure that column you wrote is on the wall in your bedroom there at home. No, I think you were on the right track. But the bottom line is, you know, when the vote came, Chicago lost. I know Mayor Daley is very unhappy about it. He didn't even go to the final ceremony where they awarded the Olympics to Rio de Janeiro, because he had put a lot into it. But I think Ben's column was right on target, and we're better off.
I was so happy. I was at Washington Park when the announcement came down. I was jumping for joy, celebrating. Yay! Hawking a horn when I drove down there. Yeah, we won by losing.
I told you I went to Copenhagen. I played basketball there. We had 3-on-3 tournament, and our team won. But after it was over, they had a couple guys who had come to help Chicago win the Olympics. David Robinson, he's about 7'1", and then Dikembe Mutombo, he's a little bit over 7 feet. And I had my picture taken between them. I look like a pretty small compared to those guys. But they were a lot of fun.
All right, let's get to the White Sox. The White Sox in the early 80s did threaten to move if they didn't get a subsidy for their stadium. Yeah. And so at the time, eventually Governor Thompson, and I guess eventually at the end, it was Mayor Sawyer, not Mayor Washington, who signed the agreement. We kicked in money to subsidize them, and we've been subsidizing them ever since. Now they need a new stadium, they claim, even though it's only 30 years old. I know you're a diehard White Sox fan. You're going to the opening day today, the opening game today. Nonetheless, why do the White Sox need a new stadium if we just built them one 30 years ago? Go ahead.
Yeah, I really don't know. I'm a season ticket holder in the upper deck. I have been for the last 25 years or so. And, it's mystifying. I really don't think that's a good idea. Jim Thompson, I got along okay with him. He has a statue outside of Guarantee Ray Park now. They were so grateful to him for helping get that done. But it cost the taxpayers a lot of money. Those bonds are still not retired from the building of Guaranteed Rate Field, Comiskey Park. And so to do it again, I just don't think is a very prudent thing to do. And, the same thing goes with the Bears. You know, you can't have everything. You know, if you have one stadium built for by the taxpayers, that might be enough, you know, no more. Let the voters have a final crack at it, at least, to whether or not our money should be spent to build their stadiums again.
All right. So now to the practicalities of getting this matter on the ballot. This is not like the term limit. In the term limit one, you gathered the signatures to put it directly on the ballot.
Yeah, we got 87,000, and that was more than enough. And what we're trying to do here, I did this yesterday when I filed an ordinance with the city clerk, an actual ordinance. Ben Jarofsky or anybody in Chicago, including me, you can go to the city clerk's office with a proposed ordinance and submit it. And under the rules, the city clerk has to submit that to the mayor and the alderman at the next meeting of the city council. And so that's what I did yesterday, a pretty simple question on the ballot, very simple, straightforward. Should taxpayer money be used to build a stadium or real estate development for the Sox or the Bears? And then, you know, they will get this on April 17th, this proposed ordinance, Ben, and then people will have a chance to evaluate the city council. They have to vote on it, hopefully. I hope they vote on it that day. And I said yesterday, I'll say it again today and every day, come on, Mayor Johnson, this is what you talked about, investing in people and giving voters, the people, a chance to vote on how their tax money is used. If we are putting kind of a brick on building any more stadiums for billionaire franchises, that is a step in the right direction. And that referendum will serve Chicago and the people very well for years to come.
Now, so it's not a guarantee that the city council will vote on it. Could they just bury it in the rules committee?
It's possible. They could do that. That's why you need a mayor. You know, the mayor's the quarterback here, okay? And we need to have the mayor take charge and basically say, listen, council, this is a good idea. This will guide us in our negotiations with the Bears and the Sox and everybody else. It'll show what the people of Chicago feel. It'll empower, frankly, the mayor in his dealings with them. But, you know, and I did that when I was governor. I mentioned I got the recall amendment passed at the state level. It's a constitutional amendment. And I had to convince the House and the Senate to put it on the ballot. And then we vote, had a campaign for it in 2010 and passed it overwhelmingly. And the mayor will help himself by being for the referendum I'm proposing, the stadium referendum. You know, I know he was disappointed. I voted for the Bring Home Chicago referendum, but it was not particularly well executed, I would say. You know, the wording was could have been improved. But, you know, when you don't win, you don't cry about it. You don't whine. You go forward and do something new and better. And this is better. This says we're not going to spend another $660 million of public money on building a stadium for the Bears. We're going to spend that money on affordable housing, the very issue that came up in Bring Home Chicago.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, Pat and I were different sides in the last mayoral election. Pat endorsed Paul Vallas. I voted for Brandon Johnson. Pat,
yeah, I also voted for Chuy Garcia, though. Don't forget. I was for it. That's who I was really for when it all started. And I still can't figure out why the CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union, which supported Chuy and I did in 2015, all of a sudden decided he wasn't the right guy in 2023. And, you know, Chuy and I have been friends a long time. I supported him for mayor in the first round. And, you know, he was, I thought, a very good candidate.
All right, fair enough. I will say that Garcia was a little late in announcing, Pat. Kind of froze everybody by taking his time. Mario Cuomo-esque and not quite being able to make up his mind. A reference to a politician that only Pat and I are old enough to understand the reference.
I shook his hand. Mario Cuomo in 1990. I was running for state treasurer, and we were at some endorsement thing, and he stood up and looked at me, and he said, look at that guy, Pat Quinn, for state treasurer. He looks like an altar boy. Vote for him. Mario Cuomo.
I did not know that story. So anyway, all right, so we're on opposite sides. I'll give it to you. Would, in your humble opinion, Paul Vallas support this referendum if he were the mayor?
I have no idea. You know, this is my idea. You know, I believe in the power of referendum and petition. I've collected lots of signatures over my lifetime. A friend of mine totaled up one time, and he said the groups you've been involved in collected over 4 million autographs of everyday people in Illinois for referendums, and more to come. Not giving up. You know, Chicago will be a better city and Illinois would be a better state if we had more opportunity to vote on these major questions via referendum. People in other Midwestern states look at us and say, what's the problem, Illinois? That's why you have all your corruption. Even in Missouri, of all places, voters went out in 2018 and gathered signatures to put Clean Missouri on the ballot. Or it was a ethics referendum to clean things up and pass tougher standards in Missouri. And it passed overwhelmingly. The voters were for it. And here in Illinois, where you know, a lot of politicians don't like referendum, and so they try to keep pushed down.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, this would be a non-binding referendum. It's an advisory. So
Speak a language, Ben, the language of votes at the ballot box. And that's the only language a lot of politicians understand. You know, if we have the opportunity to show at the ballot box, not with a poll, you know, a poll that I released yesterday, it's pretty convincing, but we did it the best way of all, which is people voting. I think that'll set a new trend in our city and state that we're not just going to hand out corporate welfare to entities that can afford to build their own stadiums.
Well, that's, and now let me just restate what I said yesterday when we discussed this on the show, not you, but with a different guest. There's no guarantee that the yes, that the referendum would pass the way I want it to and prevent the Sox and the Bears from getting public money. Let's say this did get the city council and the mayor signed on to it and said, yeah, let's put it on the ballot in November, see what the public thinks. The other side, the pro give the Bears and the White Sox money side, would have an opportunity to go before the people and make their case. And they got a lot of money and they have a lot of influence and they have editorial boards that would be on their side. Pat, there's no guarantee that your vision would win or my vision would win. We could lose.
Well,
that's called democracy.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, let the people decide, hearing both sides of the argument. I think we can make a pretty strong argument that voting against the idea of subsidizing the sports stadiums is the right way to go. And I think, you know, there should be a real good rock'em sock'em campaign. It's good. November 5th, when we're voting for president this year in Illinois and everywhere else, that'll be a big turnout. And that's an ideal time to have this referendum on whether taxpayers should subsidize sports stadiums in Chicago.
All right. We're going to close by, I'm going to throw a curveball at you having nothing to do with this topic. I've been curious about your thoughts on this for a while. So get ready for this curveball. And this is a conversation.
Okay, that ended my baseball career, curveballs, you know.
Curveball,
so
okay.
For 7 years, I was a catcher, and I hit 444, but then curveballs came along, and I couldn't hit those.
Curveballs are like introductory to biology in college. It separates the people who are going to make it from the people who won't. All right. So the Supremes ruled that Colorado and other states do not have the right to police their ballots in presidential elections, and they could not remove Trump from the ballot for being an insurrectionist. I was surprised by that ruling because here in the state of Illinois, I'm used to the state policing the ballot on federal elections and presidential elections. I saw it happen with Ralph Nader. It's probably going to happen with Baby Bobby coming up if he submits enough petitions. Your thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling in the Colorado case?
Well, you know, I was disappointed. You know, reading the history of Reconstruction and those amendments, the 14th Amendment in particular, after the Civil War, there was a real clear worry that insurrectionists were going to start another Civil War. That's why that was put in the 14th Amendment. And I really felt the Supreme Court didn't do that history justice. And when you look at the words as well as the history of that provision of the 14th Amendment, I think Trump got off lightly. But we just got to beat him at the ballot now. You know, this November, it'll be an election of our lifetime. It'll define our time. And we've just got to defeat him and defeat authoritarianism and go forward with a democracy that gets hopefully stronger and is not threatened by the likes of Donald Trump.
All right, very good, Pat. Thanks for taking time to talk to me. Now, enjoy the White Sox game today. Like you, I hope the White Sox win.
Our goal is to get more than 61 wins this year, Ben. Maybe even 81. That'd be 50-50. If they get 101, I'll even if they don't get 101, I'll take you to a game and we'll sit in the upper deck and have another conversation.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Buddy.
That's Governor Pat Quinn.
Take care.
That's Governor Pat Quinn. Thank him for taking the time to talk to us. Also want to thank producer Chris. He does an outstanding job, as always. And I know Governor Quinn and the Bears agree. Hey, producer Chris.
Go Bears, race, go.
Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody. Go Bears.
And remember, previous Ben Jarofsky shows are all available for download at chicagoreader.com. You can also get columns from Ben Jarofsky. You can sign up for the Reader newsletter. Get yourself some really cool Reader swag. It's all there at chicagoreader.com. If you want to follow Ben on Instagram, it's easy. Just at Benny J Show. And then don't forget to tell your friends, like, subscribe, and follow the Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.